Look at some of the big stories making headlines this morning. John, Catherine.
Thank you, fam. You've heard this expression, right, Catherine? The third rail.
Ooh,
right?
Yeah, don't touch that.
Don't touch that. It has all the power on it. Well, I think we've discovered this morning that credit card practices and credit card fees constitute the third rail of the U.S. economy.
Oddly enough, my husband and I just got a notice that the limit on our credit card was increased by another $5,000. Not that we're going to use it, I hope, but I just thought it was very strange when my son is having a hard time getting a college loan, all of a sudden the same bank is giving us all of this extra credit.
People are calling us with stories of credit card, well, what they call abuse or, you know, things that were done unilaterally without asking consumers at 877-8-MY-TAKE. Here's another one.
I got a letter from Bank of America boosting my rate from 5% to 12%, but adding insult to injury was the fine print that said unless I specifically rejected the new rate by calling a number, it would automatically go up. And if I did reject it, if I ever use that card again, they would charge 12% on all new purchases as well as my outstanding balance under the old rate.
Well, adding insult to injury may be a decent business model for credit card companies trying to secure fees from consumers, but is it the kind of thing that the federal government can do something about? This week may end with a new playbook for the credit card industry in America. President Obama meets with representatives from 14 banks that issue credit cards today. Joining us to talk about the legislative initiatives that might address some of these concerns of our listeners that we've been hearing about all morning is Democratic Senator from Connecticut, Senator Chris Dodd. Senator Dodd, thanks so much for being with us.
Not at all. Thank you for having me on.
Let's talk, first of all, about what can be done here. I thought credit cards were already regulated.
Well, not really. They are to some degree, I suppose, but some of the rates that get charged, you would have gone to jail. This is what we called usurious rates, almost organized crime rates, what they call loan shark rates a few years ago. And about a year or so ago, the Federal Reserve Bank, at long last, issued some regulations on credit cards, which were very positive and moved us in the right direction. But, of course, those regulations could be changed overnight in a new administration. They don't go far enough, and they don't go into effect until July of next year. And as a result, I've tried for over 20 years, but frankly, the credit card industry has been so strong that I've never been able to get much more than 20 or 30 votes on some of the things we're now very close to achieving, which will provide some of the protections that your callers in have been raising issues about. And that's the good news, and I'm grateful the President today is meeting with these credit card companies and issuers and is going to be supporting, I think, some strong legislative efforts, which we hope to be able to take in the next few weeks, that will finally put some very strong consumer protections on the use of credit cards.
Now, of course, the credit card industry includes some banks with very familiar names, but it also includes some institutions that have less familiar names. But let's talk about Citibank, for instance, and Bank of America. We've heard those names this morning. It seems to me that on paper, the government has assisted Bank of America to get into a situation where it gets money from the Federal Reserve, from the TARP, at about what interest rate, Senator?
Oh, John, the rate is, I don't know, what is it, 4%, 5%, 6%, something like that? It's very low.
Is it even that high?
It might not be that high.
Yeah, I think it may be like 1% or something. It's practically free money they're getting from the TARP, and they're charging on their Bank of America credit cards interest rates of 18, 19, 20%.
That's... Well, to give you an idea, just since March of last year, between March of last year and February of this year, 70 million accounts had their interest rates raised. I'm told that's like one out of four families. In many cases, the rates were raised. You can read through all the fine print, but at the end of all the fine print, you'll commonly find the following language. We reserve for ourselves the right to raise rates for at any time for any reason. And so the stories are not just anecdotal that you've heard and that I've heard over and over again of people who for years, I had a couple in Connecticut the other day, they were 3 days late for the first time in 18 years, small business, Samantha Moore and her husband. They did a press conference with me. I don't mind using their names. They wanted them to be used. And they were 3 days late, got a notice. Their rates went from like 11% up to something like 20%. And they reduced their credit lines from $31,000 down to $4,000. This is a small business family. So all of a sudden, they're not only finding an increase in rate, but all of a sudden their credit lines have substantially dropped, which means they can borrow less as a small business in a critical time. Also putting their credit rating across a great risk. If they go over that 4,000, then, of course, they'll start getting terrible credit reports, and their business is put in further jeopardy. Just one example of what goes on every day.
It's a great story, but I have to say, Senator, you helped to create this situation. I mean, when the TARP is available to Bank of America, they get more free money. they can raise interest rates and get more money on the back end. Wouldn't it have been better to just let Bank of America go down, let the people default on their balances? They get to pay less of a penalty for that. Maybe there's a credit card hit, a credit card or credit rating hit, but the banks don't get these like windfall profits.
Well, we're drifting off a little bit. I mean, the reason for the TARP money was to keep a financial system in play.
Credit cards are the financial system.
Well, it's part of it. I'm a strong so credit cards are a great vehicle for people, obviously, and they've been well used and properly maintained, and that is with the banks not charging outrageous rates and so forth. They can really be of great help to people, not opposed to credit cards at all. But there's a difference here in talking about whether or not you've got any banks at all for a financial system to operate and whether or not credit card issuers are charging rates and fees and penalties which are excessive, and I think they are, and that's why we're passing the legislation.
What's the interest rate that you think is appropriate for credit cards?
Well, you can certainly see the credit unions, I think, have a cap of around 12%, 12 or 15%. They never go above that. I think that's a law, in fact, for them, doesn't allow them to go any excess of that. And certainly you can see where people incur great risk or something that a lending institution might want the opportunity to raise some rates. But to raise rates in the level we're talking about here, as I said a few years ago, those were illegal rates. You could go to jail for charging those rates.
All right. Even if we do cap it at 12%, and again, you're going to be considering a whole range of regulations, isn't there a fundamental contradiction here in the sense that to get the economy moving again, the Fed, Bernanke, Tim Geithner, you, Barney Frank, are saying we need more credit. We need people to borrow. We need banks to lend. But that also runs the risk of getting us back into this situation where people get overly indebted with too easy credit and we're back into this bubble situation once again.
Well, obviously people need to borrow. We understand that. And people need to consume. We understand that 70% of our GDP depends upon the gross domestic product, depends upon consumption. And clearly credit has to flow again, and that's not working in order for our financial system to work. But also there has to be some responsibility. And I'm not exculpating, that is forgiving consumers. Consumers have to be careful as well, but obviously if you're losing your job, a major health care problem hits the family, then you don't often have the option of being responsible in all this. You're trying to make ends meet and keep your nose above water. So obviously if you can get credit moving, people can borrow. Businesses borrow as a regular matter for paying their employees, buying inventory. Then they count on revenues coming in to meet those responsibilities. The financial system and the credit flow is absolutely critical for our economic well-being and stability and confidence building. So obviously that's what we're trying to do. There are various efforts being made by the Obama administration, and I applaud them for trying. The other side is just saying no to everything. That's a good political answer, but it doesn't really get you very far. So I admire what Geithner's trying to do here. It's not perfect. It hasn't worked as well as you and I would like it to work, but we're seeing some signs that things are getting better. Not great, but there are some signs that we're moving in the right direction, and I think that's what people are looking for and why I think people are or at least at this juncture, being supportive of President Obama's effort.
But I think people have the impression that the government is a better advocate for bankers than it is for consumers, like the people whose stories you just told.
All right, and hence one of the reasons why we've been talking about all this top-down stuff over the last number of months, and it's about time we start talking about some bottom-up. That is, how do we help consumers meet their responsibilities, not be saddled with over excessive costs on credit cards and the like, see if we can deal with foreclosure mitigation so that people can stay in their homes, and get the rates down, get some of the principal reduced so that we don't end up with the 10,000 foreclosures every day we're witnessing in the country. So those efforts, I think, are critically important.
And it's on the agenda legislatively. Senator Chris Dodd, thanks for joining us from his district of Connecticut, his home state of Connecticut. Thank you, Senator Dodd.
Thank you very much.
All right. Now, the grace period is almost up for Chrysler. We've been talking about credit cards and grace periods. I want to give you your takeaway.
We really do need to pay more attention about our public relations there, and we need to try hard to make the Somalis understand that we're not out to get them. And I'm not sure we're doing a good job of that right now.
That's Bronwyn Bruton. She is an expert, a Somalia expert with the Council on Foreign Relations. We talked to her earlier this hour. If you want more of that conversation or more of John's conversation with Senator Dodd, go to thetakeaway.org.
I'm John Hockenberry.
And I'm Catherine Lanfer. This is The Takeaway.
At Radiolab, we love nothing more than nerding out about science, neuroscience, chemistry.
But we do also like to get into other kinds of stories. Stories about policing or
politics,
country music,
hockey,
sex. of bugs.
Regardless of whether we're looking at science or not science, we bring a rigorous curiosity to get you the answers.
And hopefully make you see the world anew.
Radiolab, adventures on the edge of what we think we know.
Wherever you get your podcasts.